Moncrief on News Talk.
In the 1950s, a tragic car accident in the north of England ended the lives of two little girls, and their father had an untypical reaction to this. He predicted that they would be reincarnated, and within a year, his wife gave birth to twins, which he claimed were his daughters who had returned. It generated huge publicity at the time, as well as a lot of academic attention, and is now the subject of a new podcast called Extrasensory. Rosie Pye is the journalist behind it. Afternoon, Rosie.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Could you start with telling us a bit about John Pollock himself? How did he become interested in reincarnation, I should say?
When he was a child, he read books on it, because you have to remember, at the time that all this story happened in the 1950s, that his daughters died, reincarnation wasn't an idea that people in the UK really knew about. Mm. There were new ideas coming in to the West from the East, and most people wouldn't have ever heard of the concept of reincarnation. So he was a little bit ahead of his time.
Yeah, okay. And as I understand it, it caused some friction with his wife because they were devout Catholics, so...
Yes, they were, yeah. And she was very critical of him at first, and then she... Well, what happens in the story, as you'll hear in the series, is he kind of gathers evidence that his new daughters are reincarnations of his daughters that tragically died in this car accident. And she slowly becomes more and more convinced that he's right as he gathers more evidence about that.
Tell us a bit about that particular car accident, because it was the two daughters and another little boy, and the woman who was driving the car seemed to be deeply disturbed.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is just a huge tragedy, and it was it was front page news at the time. This is the late 1950s, and this northern English town called Hexham, and these little girls and this boy are walking to church, to mass, and they're ploughed into by this woman driving a car who kind of mounts the pavement, and they all die. And it's just this massive outpouring of grief in the local community and in the church community as well. But what happens in our story and what our series focuses on is that their father, the two girls' father, doesn't really grieve for very long, because he thinks that they're going to be reincarnated. And that's the starting point of the story and how it kind of unfolds.
Yes, indeed.
I
suppose, because that got a lot of publicity at the time, because I understand the woman did it deliberately because she'd been separated from her own children. So there would have been a media spotlight on this family.
It would have
reoccurred when. How long was it then until the twins were born?
I'm trying to think. It wasn't that long afterwards that Florence announces to John that she's pregnant. And he makes a prophecy that she will have twins, and that the twins will be a reincarnation of the two dead children. And she says, no, I'm only having one. And she consults a doctor who confirms, no, she's only having one. So it's a massive surprise when she has twins. And then John starts to think, oh, I'm right. These are the reincarnation of our two dead daughters. And it builds and builds from there.
Yeah. And initially, I mean, I suppose his prediction came true in the first instance, but there were birthmarks, which he took to mean that these were definitely... What were the birthmarks?
Well, there was a scar that one of his, the daughters that died had, that then, according to John, when they were reincarnated as these twins, it came out as a birthmark. And birthmarks are an important part of reincarnation sort of evidence gathering. And so there's physical evidence as well as memories that the twins start to have of their sisters' lives. And it kind of builds and builds, because not only does John Pollock, the father, make these prophecies and sort of talk to the press. Remember that he's talking the whole time to the national press, telling them these things, which would have seemed entirely wild and extraordinary to the readers in the UK in the late 50s. Mm. Not only does that happen, what happens is an American professor at the University of Virginia, a guy called Professor Stevenson, he finds out about John Pollock and these girls, and he is studying reincarnation in America. And then he flies over to the UK to study this family, and he studies them for over 20 years. So our program is built out of lots of testimony and speaking to lots of different people involved in the story, but also looking at his evidence base. And this story of the Pollock family goes on to become one of the sort of central pillars of his research into reincarnation, and potentially one of the few stories that could prove that reincarnation is real. And that's why it's such an important, interesting story when you're thinking about reincarnation, because it is like one of the big reincarnation stories in the world.
Yeah. And the girls, because as I understand it, the family moved away from Hexham very soon after they were born. But they seem to remember a lot of things about Hexham, even though they had been too young to remember it.
That's what's in the evidence that from the research into the family. Yeah, and there was actually a documentary made in the 70s, a TV documentary about the family, and it goes into all those details. Yeah, I mean, there's many things that our series kind of uncovers that point to them being the reincarnation of their sisters. But really, you know, you have to finish the show, and I'm not going to spoil it because there's lots of twists and turns. You know, we leave it up to the listener to decide what they think really happened here. And, you know, people will come into listening to this program probably with their own ideas. And, you know, it's an incredibly personal thing, what you think happens after we all die and we've all lost people. And it's, you know, we all have our own ideas about that. And what we hope is that people listening to the story will find it fascinating to hear all the different perspectives and to kind of decide what they think happened in this amazingly sort of famous case. But it was famous at the time, and then the family disappeared and fragmented, and it kind of became a myth. Mm. For many years, it became a myth, the kind of spooky twins myth. It's a very Halloween appropriate story. It's definitely the time of year to listen to Extrasensory.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word fractured there. Did it cause some sort of rift in the family? Because I understand you did speak to a granddaughter of John Pollock who knew nothing about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. So at the time, obviously, mass news, huge, and as it would be today, you know, a tragic accident, three children killed, and then the court case for the woman that did it, as you were talking about earlier. Yeah, it was huge news at the time. And then John, the father, was all over the press for years talking about how they were reincarnated, and then Stevenson coming over and researching them. And then it kind of, the family just disappeared. They stopped doing press. Family members started to die. And what happened within the family is the next generations, they weren't told the story. So when we started to kind of contact the relatives and the people involved, if they knew anything at all, it was very little. So that we're doing a lot of work with that family, and that as it kind of unfolds, they're learning for the first time what really happened over those years. And Lauren, the granddaughter of John Pollock, is a big part of our program.
Yeah, it's extraordinary they didn't know about it.
I know. I mean, she learnt about it as a child only once. She saw it. She was in a religious studies class, and they wheeled out this TV screen and played them a video about the concept of reincarnation. And on the screen, on this kind of TV screen, she sees a photo of her own family. And that's the first time she knew anything about this story. And she goes home and she asks her parents, what's this all about? And they kind of evade her questions. And she's only young at the time, she kind of like puts it at the back of her mind as this weird event. And then all these years later, we phone her up and say, we're trying to find out what happened. And she's really keen to understand it. And she's helped us so much to kind of uncover all these different things. Because in the end, this is a very personal family story. Mm-hmm. You know, it became international. It became like this huge concept. And it wasn't only Stevenson. Other people studied this family as well in the 60s and 70s. And so But it's very personal as well, because for these people, these are their relatives, and there's a tragedy at the heart of it.
Yeah, I can imagine it had a huge effect on family members, particularly perhaps the two girls, because if they're being wheeled out and given all this media exposure, not voluntarily, it must have had some sort of an effect upon them.
Well, I mean, you would imagine so. I mean, being in the spotlight. I mean, I'm not going to give any spoilers to what happens in our series. You have to listen to it to hear a bit more about that. But yeah, I mean, it's just everything that happens here. And it's one of the most, I've been a journalist for 20 years. It's one of the most extraordinary stories I've ever worked on. Like, it's completely wild that these events happened. And it could only have happened at this particular point in history. Because at this time, these were new ideas and people sort of potentially lacked some of the cynicism that we have now. And we try to go into telling the story and learning about these characters and their motivations and, you know, what really happened. We try to go in as openly as possible. To that time, try to go in kind of at the level of the 1950s and think, you know, how people would have seen it then.
Yeah. That podcast is called Extrasensory. Rosie Pye is the journalist behind it. Rosie, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.